What's up, heroes? Welcome to episode 24 of the Producer Life podcast. Today, I welcome Sixth Street Music, also known as Richard Wang, a Minnesota-grown, Los Angeles-based music producer and performer. In 2018, he joined the Producer Dojo, and since then has had multiple tracks featured on monthly mixtapes, and even had three songs featured on NBC's World of Dance mixtape. His first EP, Neon District, hit number 3 overall on Beatport, with singles hitting number 1 in various genres including trap, dubstep, and electronica. He recently released a new single, Eagles, with his girlfriend Liz Besler, who provided the vocals. In this interview, we talk about finding vocalists, what it's like collaborating with your girlfriend, how to run a remix competition, advice on paid advertising, and the keys to being successful on Twitch.
The power of Twitch really comes from the vulnerability and the intimacy with your chat.
But first, cue the intro music.
This is the Producer Life Podcast with your host, The House Ninja. Bringing you actionable ideas to improve your music and get it heard.
Welcome to the Producer Life Podcast, Richard.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've been excited about having you on ever since your recent release with Eagles. That's a fantastic song, and I've been enjoying it a lot. Tell us about how that song came about.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, that just came out a week ago, and the whole week has flown by, actually. But yeah, that song, actually, it was originally inspired by one of the Producer Dojo cyphers. For people who don't know what that is, it's basically a beat battle that happens every single month. But there was a cipher that happened maybe a couple months ago, which was the animal cipher. And I was just thinking about ideas about what I could choose as an animal to sort of inspire me. And eagles kind of came to mind, and sort of an image of a story about a lost relationship started to like come together in my mind. So a lot of the chords and a lot of the lyrics are written around that idea, originally inspired by eagles, and the story kind of grew from that.
That's terrific. Now, Liz Besler does the vocals on that. Did I pronounce her last name right?
Yep. She's my girlfriend. Love her to death.
That is fantastic. So yep. What's that like collaborate? Go ahead.
Oh, no. What's that like collaborate with her? You asked?
Yeah, that's a fantastic situation where you've got your girlfriend as your vocalist.
Yeah, it's very, very special. It's actually funny because the two of us, we didn't get into music together. We both actually met through the same dance company here in LA. We're both dancers and choreographers first. And then over time, I kind of picked up production, and then she sort of discovered this hidden talent with singing. So we both kind of got into music separately, but now we're both making lots of music together, and we're both kind of just accidentally joined the music world together. So I'm super grateful for her.
Awesome. So working with a vocalist is always a unique experience. How do you think it changes the situation when you're romantically involved with a person?
Honestly, it gets a little bit harder, because with a vocalist that you don't know, it's easy to be professional, and you'll kind of, if you guys have any tension, because you guys don't really know each other, you'll keep professional and you kind of work through it. When you're romantically with the person that you're working with, and I'm sure this is true for a lot of people who've worked with their partner or anything like that, things that become tense become personal very easily. So sometimes we'll like bicker over a lyric, or I'll critique a performance thing from her, and it becomes a lot more personal when it's not just another vocalist, it's like your girlfriend at the same time. So yeah, sometimes we fight over that as well, but it's not a big deal. We work through it, and it's actually, I'm very grateful to have her as a collaborator on a lot of my music, even though sometimes it's a little bit harder to work with someone you know.
Have you worked with many other vocalists outside of Liz?
Yeah, I'm lucky to know a couple vocalists from the college that I went to, and yeah, it's been really cool to work with different vocalists and kind of see how different people work in the studio. So it's a scary and vulnerable experience, but it's totally worth it.
So for a producer that's getting started and needs a vocal, what does the process look like for finding and working with a vocalist? Are most of the people you've worked with ones that you knew in person, or is it you posted an ad somewhere or something on social media saying, hey, I'm looking for a vocalist for my new track. It's this upbeat pop track. And how did those collaborations come about?
Generally, I like to work with people that I know. And for some of the people that I work with now, for example, I have a friend named Leo Xia. He was a musician that I met back in college when I wasn't even producing yet. But over the years, he had been putting out music and he was on my radar. And I just hit him up because he's a friend. And I know that he's passionate about music as well. And the two of us getting together is like two friends getting together, just making music together. And that's why I think working with friends is always a lot more fun. And you don't have to like break any sort of ice. You just know who they are already. Working with strangers, I've done that too. And often with working with strangers, it's still through some sort of connection that I made with them through the internet. So it could be that I've heard their voice on a different track. And if they're a similar size artist to me, hitting them up through Instagram or just kind of like finding a way to contact them and pitching your idea to them is a good way to get strangers that you don't know to be a potential collaborator. So both. I prefer working with friends, but you could totally reach out to people that are similar size to you and pitch an idea and send them a track and be like, hey, you want to be on it? And if they're down, then you have a vocalist.
Okay. So sort of from a business perspective, you've got three different cases there. You've obviously got the girlfriend case with a vocalist, you've got the friend case, and then you've got the stranger case. Mm-hmm. Are you using split sheets with all of the above? What do you do when you're trying to release something commercially?
That's a great question. So with my girlfriend, because we're both living together, we sort of just keep it simple and just release it under my name. As things kind of become more and more official, and she's also working with a management company now, things become much more contract-based and you have to use split sheets there. But we haven't used one between me and my girlfriend just yet. With vocalists, generally I'll give them half the writing credit if we wrote the song together. And yes, there will be contracts and stuff like that with the splits. And then also on DistroKid, you can just write them down as a whatever percentage you want to give the vocalist in terms of streaming royalties. So that does come into play later on for releasing.
Okay, awesome. Good. Before this project, I think what you were working on before that was the remix competition for Back in Love with Daniel Simmons. Was that your previous project?
Yeah, so I've been all over the place in the past 6 months. But I think 6 months ago was the remix competition with Daniel Simmons. And the song Back in Love that I wrote, or he wrote it and I helped him kind of finish the track up, was basically the story of my 2019. Working that song was a lot of work, and it was a lot of growth that happened in that song as well. We decided to do a remix competition at the end of last year. To sort of continue to, first of all, kind of create more hype around the song. But second, we were also interested in hearing what it would sound like with other producers on the track. So, yeah, at the end of last year, we hosted a competition and got like 30 to 40 entries. And then we picked the top four people to create a remix EP. So we're really proud of that.
So I've participated in some remix competitions, but I've never hosted one. For my listeners, can you kind of talk us through the process, sort of start to finish, if somebody wants to run a remix competition for one of their original tracks?
Yeah, it's really hard. It takes a ton of time. It's really hard. I didn't realize how much it would take. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to do it as well, was I wanted to figure out what it took and like how to get it, how to like run publicity and stuff. Yeah, once you choose to have a remix competition, well, first of all, if you are running a remix competition and you have vocals on your track, producers will eat that up, because producers are always looking for vocals to work with. And if you have a killer vocalist on your track and you run a remix competition, producers will definitely jump on the vocal for sure. So first of all, have a killer vocal. That helps a lot with getting producers on it. But the next step is, how do you get people interested in the remix competition if you don't have a killer, like a huge following? Luckily for me, I run a Twitch stream where I'm like talking with producers like all the time. And once I told my Twitch stream that I was running a remix competition, basically all the entries, the 30 to 40 people that entered, were all people from my Twitch stream. So these are people that I know are producers, and they're excited and they know me. So they were excited to jump in on that. So if you don't have a Twitch stream like that, or you don't have a huge like producer following, you could run some ads too. And just like get it in front of producers and be sure to publicize the award. So you want to make sure the award for the competition is worth it for people, whether that's like a cash thing or like a plugin thing, or maybe it's like, oh, one thing we also gave away was free lessons, like production lessons, because both me and Daniel are teachers at the dojo.
Oh, okay.
So if you have a really great reward, people are much more inclined to jump in on that. For a lot of remix competitions, they're also hosted by like a label, for example. So say like Spinning Records, they run a whole competition. Usually the winner gets a release with Spinning Records, which is a great publicity thing if you are running it through a record label as well. So the whole idea behind a remix competition is collaboration. Obviously, you get some cool tracks out of it, but it's really about publicizing the main release that you had for the remix competition. So, yeah.
You talked about the publicity around the remix competition, and you talked a little bit about, for you, the Twitch stream was really all you needed. But then you mentioned advertising. Have you done much in terms of paid advertising, either for the remix competition or for performances or anything like that?
Yeah, for paid advertisements, I really will do that for releases. For example, for Eagles, I have some Facebook ads running for that. For the remix competition, I didn't. That was all organic and just through my own network and through my Twitch stream.
Okay. Are you handling the ads yourself, or have you got somebody that does the Facebook ads for you?
I'm handling it myself, and that is also a learning curve for sure. Facebook ads and Instagram ads, all of that. Like, I've been spending the past week setting up on that and like how to run it efficiently because I don't want to waste money and stuff like that. And there's so many data points and stuff that you have to learn about like what you're looking at because it's a ton of numbers. But it's a really powerful tool that I think if you're not learning to do it yourself, I think it's not, or I think you should find someone to do that for you if you're really looking at brand awareness and like pushing yourself out there. Just because data has so much Facebook has so much data about everybody that you're able to get your brand to people that care about you.
Yeah.
Which is a really powerful thing.
I feel like with Facebook ads, you can get as complicated or as simple as you want. Just as an experiment, for my recent track, the one that you actually helped me with, I both hired somebody to run Google ads against my YouTube video.
Nice.
But then I also uploaded a video to Facebook and did a simple boosted post, which took all of 30 seconds. And both of those are still running, but at the end of it, I'm going to kind of compare the results and see which one performed better. But you know, a simple boosted post can be really effective. You don't have to dig into the ads manager and tweak 1,000 settings and do A/B testing and all that sort of stuff to get good results.
Yeah, for sure. And I will say that the boosted posts tends to be a more expensive way to get your post out there through the actual ad manager. If you go into the actual nitty gritty and really highlight the people that you want to target, you generally get more bang for your buck. So you get more views or more link clicks for the dollar.
Oh, okay, good. So when you were learning how to do that, did you go through the Facebook tutorials, or is there some place you can refer the listeners to learn how to do Facebook ads?
Yeah, so there's this guy on YouTube that I've been watching for a long time now. His name is Damian Keys. Have you heard of him before?
I have not, but okay, I'm going to look him up.
Yeah, he's awesome. He is a killer music marketing guy, and that's all he talks about on his channel. Talks about Spotify, talks about release plans, talks about Facebook ads. But yeah, I basically jumped in on his courses. I think he has like a monthly course for $15 a month that I jumped in on just for the Facebook ads course. And I've learned a lot from that. So definitely recommend his stuff. He's super awesome.
Is that Damian K-E-Y-E-S?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, awesome.
He's like an English guy with his awesome accent and everything. And he's super engaging. I love him.
Awesome. I love English accents. So yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes. So that is terrific. Let's talk about your Twitch, because you started that, I think, last October, and you've got over 1,000 followers on Twitch. That's been huge for you.
Yeah, it really has. I actually started last February. It's been a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, I've started a while ago. It's been well over a year, and I kind of jumped in because I saw that Twitch is a place where some producers have really gotten a huge following and really built traction through live streaming. And I kind of jumped in not knowing what it took. And it's a big learning curve to kind of jump into streaming and setting up your bots and setting up kind of what your content's going to be about. But once I figured out that my sort of thing on Twitch was going to be music feedback, I just kind of ran with that. And now I have a solid Twitch following and I have like 20 to 30 people watching at any given moment twice a week. So it's been really cool to see how that's been supplementing my growth as a producer. It's great for publicity. It's great to have sort of content on the side to support my music as well. So I'm really grateful for it.
Yeah. How did you pick the times that you did? Were you trying to figure out when was best for the people, or did you just kind of pick times that worked for you?
I usually recommend to pick times that work for you, whatever that you can stay consistent with. because the people are going to show up at whatever time that you choose. And as long as you're consistent, the same people will show up at the time slot, just like a TV show. So whatever works with you, for a Twitch stream, I basically consider it like running a show for yourself, and you want to stay as consistent as possible so people know where to find you at whatever given time slot. So if you cancel randomly and you're super inconsistent, then people will sort of see that as like, well, I don't know if Rich is going to be there or not. So consistency really is key on Twitch.
Okay. Aside from consistency, what other tips do you have for people that want to get into Twitch streaming?
So
as either producers or musicians or DJs?
Yeah. The power of Twitch really comes from the sort of vulnerability and the intimacy with your chat. So the power of Twitch is with any live stream, you're having a real-time conversation with somebody. So you get to know their personality very well, and you get to have a real live conversation with them through the live stream. What Twitch is not very strong at is discoverability. So trying to grow on Twitch is actually pretty difficult, because as a new user, there's no real way to sort of get that content pushed out to new people, because it's just it's ordered by how popular your channel is, basically.
Yeah.
So discoverability on Twitch is low, but the sort of like intimacy that you can have with your chat is very high. So I generally recommend content on Twitch that is a two-way conversation, because that's what it's really good at. Versus I see a lot of people doing DJ sets on Twitch. And if you think about a DJ set, it's very one-directional. There's nothing different with a DJ set on Twitch versus a DJ set on YouTube, because it's a one-directional kind of entertainment. So if you're going to create content on Twitch, always lean into something that is a two-directional kind of entertainment, where you're able to have conversations with your chat.
That's awesome. Have you tried Restream.io to try to increase your discoverability by going across a couple of different platforms and using their cross-platform chat?
Yeah, I actually did start with that. The thing with Restream is that if you become affiliated with Twitch, which is a pretty easy thing to do, I got affiliated with Twitch within a week, then you're making money on Twitch and you sign a exclusivity agreement with Twitch so that you can't restream your content to multiple platforms. So if you're making money as an affiliate on Twitch, whether it's through bits, whether it's through subscriptions, then you can't restream to other platforms.
Got it. Okay. All right. So you tried Restream, and then as soon as you became an affiliate, it was, well, I'm just going to make the commitment to Twitch.
Yep, that's right. I think the agreement is that whatever you stream onto Twitch has to be only on Twitch for 24 hours. And then you could take that video, post it up on like YouTube as a video. But the actual live can only be directly to Twitch.
Yeah, I think the other big challenge, and I saw something in the Discord chat the other day for the Producer Dojo talking about DCMA takedown notices on Twitch by the major record labels. So that's causing a lot of problems for DJs having their videos deleted, and concerns by streamers as well for sort of their future if you're using copyrighted music. So that's problematic too.
Yeah, there's a whole market right now actually for music that is just like copyright free, especially for streamers, because they don't want to be dinged or muted or have their videos taken down afterwards. So some people are just creating like stream beats, for example, is something that I heard of, which is all music on Spotify that you can use without any risk of being copyright strike. So, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Huh. You talked about Twitch being a great platform for sort of those conversations, but not so much for discoverability. It seems like one of the platforms that I see a lot of people jumping onto as we're kind of in this marketing part of the conversation is TikTok. And I know that DistroKid and CD Baby both distribute music to TikTok. And you being a choreographer, I would think that would be a very natural platform for you. Are you using TikTok, and how's that going?
Yeah, TikTok is crazy. TikTok is really weird. When I first logged into TikTok, I was like, this is a really weird platform, but it's very simple and therefore it's very addicting. And I am using TikTok. I actually started on TikTok with an account with my girlfriend. It was called Lizzie and Richie. And we were just doing like TikTok trends, TikTok dances, and we jumped on there, and right away we hit a couple like sort of viral videos that like spiked our numbers pretty quick. And they're just like dumb videos that take us like 15 seconds to film. And that's when we realized like, wait, this is like really effective in getting our faces out there and really effective in like building followers, you know, and building some eyeballs on our brand. Because at the time we were kind of building a couple's brand on TikTok. I had this one video with my brother where we did this little stupid viral dance and my brother was on the hotel bed and I was like, it was like literally 10 seconds long and it got 600,000 views. And it spiked our followers almost by 10K on that account. So the power of TikTok is definitely there. And the ability to be viral on TikTok is like huge. So I just started actually my Sixth Street music TikTok page and I'm doing sort of production tips on it right now. And I'm definitely looking to use my dance ability, my choreography to build brand awareness on my Sixth Street page. So that's kind of the next steps for me.
I had a guy that I ran into at a CD Baby music conference a couple of years ago, Bliss Sounds, I believe. And he had a couple hundred followers on Instagram. And then I checked out his account one day and he had over 4,000 followers. And so I instant messaged him and said, good grief, where did all those followers come from? And apparently he was on TikTok. His account blew up on TikTok. And he successfully transitioned people over to his Instagram account by encouraging them to go check him out there. Mm-hmm. Have you been similarly successful in getting people to follow you from TikTok to other platforms?
Well, the cool thing about TikTok is that the second you click on the other social media tab, it directly transfers you to their Instagram profile in a very seamless way. Also, your YouTube as well. So especially for Instagram and YouTube, it's really great for building followers on both of those platforms through TikTok. But I've seen people do that where they'll be like, oh, if you know the answer to this question, like they'll ask a question in the description of their TikTok video, DM me on Instagram and I'll give you a prize, you know? But you kind of have to find a way to funnel people from this platform over to Instagram or on YouTube. There is a resistance. So that's always going to be a thing with any of the platforms that you're working with. There's a resistance to funneling people from one platform to another platform. So it's actually harder than it seems to get people onto your Instagram.
Yeah, it makes sense. But if you can get them over to Instagram, then you can start using those targeted Facebook ads to stay in front of them more often.
Yep. That's right. And I mean, the more, if they're really interested in your content and they love you as a person and what your video is about, they're going to go check out your Instagram and your YouTube. And you can run like giveaways too. You can sort of like, once you sort of get some traction on TikTok, you can tell your followers, hey, I'm running a giveaway on my Instagram. In your TikTok bio, as long as they send you a DM and follow you, and then you get a bunch of people who are just interested in the giveaway, just like the Rebase competition. You have some kind of like thing that you're giving away. People are all about those contests and stuff.
Okay, awesome, good idea. It sounds like you stay quite busy between teaching and producing music and full time relationship and How do you juggle all those different components of your life?
Yeah. Well, I feel lucky enough that like my life is like 80% music, whether it is related to teaching or if it's related to just producing music or related to like marketing my music. I'm super grateful for that. And also on the side as well, I'm still dancing. Before I was a producer, I was actually full time dancer and choreographer. So still part of a dance company. I do that sometimes as well. But for me, it's not even about balancing. I just get to do what I love to do. And I wake up every day and I get excited about like, oh, what can I do that's going to further my career as Sixth Street? So it doesn't really feel like work so much. So sometimes it gets hard. Yes. And sometimes like there are certain like moments where I'm like stressed out and overwhelmed, but overall I'm really grateful that I get to do this as my life. You know, I think it really comes down to like prioritizing what is important to me. Because when there are so many different things, as long as I'm like using my whiteboard and writing down, this is what's the most important thing for today, then I'm able to just move one step closer to kind of my ultimate. So yeah, okay. Priorities.
So you're not planning weekly or monthly, maybe except for releases, but it's more of a daily, here's my major goal for today.
Yeah, I'll usually on Sundays, I'll have like a week sort of plan session and sort of think about what's the major project that I want to think about. Or focus on to get done if it's like a song release or getting a project done. And then every single day, whether it's the morning or the night before, I'm thinking about what to write on my whiteboard to get done for the next day.
Some of my key takeaways this week. Look to your friends first for vocalists, or at least singers with a similar size on social media. It's a lot of work to run a remix competition. Vocals are a huge draw for producers, so is having an appealing prize. Learn to use Facebook for advertising. Note to self, check out Damian Key's channel on YouTube. Twitch isn't great for discovery, but it is great for conversations. Be vulnerable and intimate. Ask yourself every day what the most important thing is to advance your brand. Make sure you subscribe for part two of the interview and check out the show notes for lots of useful links. Just head over to producerlifepodcast.com and look for episode 24. Next week, we continue the conversation with Richard and discuss his favorite social platforms, how his dance background informs his music career, how he's adjusting to the pandemic, and more. Until next week, this is the House Ninja reminding you to be someone's hero today.